So everyone can repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So welcome. Thank you all very much for coming to Kalachanji's Hare Krishna Temple, Radha Kalachanji. Kalachanji, for those who don't know, is the oldest deity of Krishna who's worshipped outside of India. He is over 500 years old from Jaipur, India, which is a very special place. So today we will cover some of the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14. Does anybody know what is the subject of chapter 14? This Prabhu there. Vaisheshika Prabhu, disciple. Don't let us down. Four, at least got to go drop one number down and it becomes real easy. The three modes of nature. Three gunas. Three modes of nature. How many of you are familiar with the three gunas? Raise your hand. Are you familiar with the subject of the three gunas? Raise your hand high. Let's see. Oh, not only a few. Half. I think half. Half are raising hand. So the gunas, we are bound in this world. We are conditioned souls. What is the conditioning? We think we're the body. We're bound with the rope of conditioning. And this rope comes with three strands. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Our good friend Tamas, he's always keeping us at home, very lazy. Yeah? Tamas. Sattvas, Rajas, Rajar, yeah. Rajar is a little excitable. So Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, these are three ropes wound together to make one very strong rope. What is easier to unbind yourself? One rope or three ropes? One rope is a little easier. So out of all three, the best is to be situated in Sattva, to be very peaceful. So this chapter is divided into four sections. Verses 1 through 9 is for the three modes. Verses 10 on. So I think that's 10 to 13. Let me see. 10. To 13, yes. Is a race for prominence. So sometimes Sattva is up, sometimes Raja is up, Rajas, and sometimes Tamas is up. We find during the day, sometimes we are feeling very tamasic. Right? Sometimes we're very rajasic. And sometimes we're sattvic. And so for those who these terms sound very unfamiliar, we're going to make these very familiar for you. So there is a race for prominence. Verses 10 through 13. So it's T and then R. Then 14 through 18 is action in the gunas, in the modes of nature. So that is A. And then the last section is 19 through 27. That describes pure life. Being free from the modes. So what does that spell? T-R-A-P. It's a trap! Like you have that fish guy in Star Wars. It's a trap! So that's the trap, the three modes. So here, we'll see.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Parambuya Parvakshami Jnanam Jnanam Uttamam Yajgatva Munaye Sarve Param Siddha Ito Gataha.
So Krishna says, Supreme Personality of God, I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained supreme perfection.
Idam jnanam upashrita mama sadharma agataha sargopi no pajayante palayam navitatani cha.
Being fixed in this knowledge, one can attain the transcendental nature like my own. Now we know Krishna, when he's speaking Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't say, I am starting chapter 15. This is chapter 15. Or he doesn't say, I'm starting chapter 14. This is chapter 14. But you find in the beginning of each chapter, he gives sometimes a very nice introduction to the subject that he's going to talk about. So it is divided in a very organized way. So Krishna says, when you become established in this knowledge, one is not born at the time of creation, nor disturbed at the time of dissolution.
Mama yonir mahad brahma tasmin garbham natanyaham sambhava sarva bhutanam tadto bhavati bharata.
The total material substance is called Brahman. Or we say in ISKCON, Brahman, but it's Brahman. Brahman is a source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living entities, O son of Bharat. So what is the source of everything? God. Yes, he had the answer. And God is everything also, so that is called Brahman. Brahman is the all-pervasive form of the Lord.
Sarva yonishu kunteya murtaya sambhavantiyaha tasam brahma mahadyonir hambija pratapitaha.
So it's understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am their seed-giving father. So now he's going to speak about material nature, how it works. Because we're all, anybody not here in the material world? Anybody in the spiritual world completely right now? Because you might not need this if you're already there. But anyone who's in the material world, Krishna's explained how it works.
Satvam rajastama iti guna prakati sambhava nirvananti mahadbaho dehi dehinam avyayam.
So material nature consists of three modes, three gunas. In English, we call them goodness, sattva, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty arm Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by the three modes. How many of you have stuck your head really close to the TV? Especially if you're a kid, you might get really close. What do you see? If you get really close to the TV, what do you see? What's your name? Yes. Ariva. So what do you see? You get really close. What do you see? Pixels. And what colors do you see? You got to get even closer. Maybe your pixels are too small. You got a very nice TV. You get the old TV, then you can see it all. Red, blue, and green. Yes. And then what are the primary colors? Like if you're in art class? Red, yellow, and blue. Now, what colors can you make with red, yellow, and blue? Is there anything you can't make with those colors? So, all the different hues of colors are found in red, yellow, and blue. So with red and yellow and blue, you got the you have the three colors. You would mix that. You have 9. You mix that. You have 81. From 81, goes on forever. So similarly, the three gunas, everything is a mixture, a certain ratio of the three gunas. Everything can be divided into a certain ratio. In a computer, how many of you work with computers? I'm sure none of you work with computers. None of you are IT people. I'm sure that's not possible. So computers work on a what kind of system? What is the basic fundamental system of a computer? Binary system, yes. Yes. So the material world works on not a binary system, but a trishari, three-part system of the three gunas. So we're going to hear about the gunas. Tatra sattvam nimala tvat nirmala tvat prakasham anamayam sukha sangena bhadnanti gyanasangena chanagaha. O sinless one, Arjuna, from the mode of goodness, being pure, more pure than others, comes illumination, light. It frees one from all sinful reactions. Bandhanati. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. Now, it's still one rope, because you may be conditioned by that sense of happiness. Maybe you have an organic garden and you live a very pure lifestyle. So there's still some conditioning. You're like, yeah, material, maybe not so bad. You know, maybe let me stick around here. I got my knowledge and my good, pure lifestyle. Everything's fine. There's a little bit of conditioning there. Rajo ragatmikam vidhi trishna sangha samud bhava. What is trishna? Trishna means, what does trishna mean? Thirst. Yeah. Trishna. I got some water there. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I don't want to make you guys thirsty. Tannibananti kunteya karma sangena dehinam. So the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. So rajas, oh, I want this, I want that. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to fruitive action. So it makes people want to do stuff, material things. Tamas twagyana jambidhi moham sarvadehinam pramadalasya nidradbishtanibananti bharata. But the mode of darkness, ignorance, born of ignorance, this is a quality of tamas. It's born, is the delusion of all living entities. It results in madness, indolence, and sleep, and binds the conditioned soul. So, for the kids who are paying attention, in the middle of the day, which one is rajas? Or which, well, sorry, I answered the question. Rajas is the answer. Which one is morning, early morning? Which guna is it? Someone said tamas? Nope. Sattva. It is very peaceful. Therefore, you have monks, brahmacharis, priests, pujaris, and of all different religions that say, get up early in the morning. It is a very good time to build your sattvic nature, to become situated in peacefulness and goodness. Middle of the day, you try to perform your japa is so hard. Mind is thinking, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. Rajas is there. And the end of the day, tamas. So what happens at the end of the day? What happens at 11 o'clock at night? What happens? Sleeping. What else? What else happens? Does criminal activity happen a little bit more at that time? Oh, tamas, yes. So you have Lord Vishnu, he takes care of sattva, he takes care of maintenance. Lord Brahma, he takes care of rajas, which is creation. And Lord Shiva takes care of tamas, which is destruction. So one of the qualities of tamasic nature is destructive. You may do things that are self-destructive. So you have a house with a window view of a nice lake. What guna is that? Sattva. Somebody say that? You have a house in the red light district. Tamas, yeah, or gambling house also. And you have a house on 34th Street in Manhattan. Rajas, yeah. So these are help you to conceptualize the three modes of the material nature. So Krishna describes food in sattva. Food in sattva, it is healthy. It is purifying. It makes you your consciousness feel nice and good and clear. You know, you eat some nice fresh fruit, some nice food that hasn't been overcooked, overspiced, nice and healthy. Your body feels light and energetic, hearty, filling, nourishing. These are descriptions of sattva food. Food that are in rajas, what is that? Katmalatam. It is too sour, too bitter, too hot, too spicy, too pungent. That is rajas. And food in tamas, dead, decomposed, leftovers, someone else's food in the garbage. Something has been killed, destroyed. Remember, destruction is related to tamas. Something murder, something was killed, some dead animal. Tamas. What? Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, that section about food is in the 18th chapter. And Krishna doesn't say the food. He said food that is dear to those who are situated in tamas, or food that is dear to those who are situated in rajas, or food that is dear to those situated in sattva. So, if somebody is in tamas and you give them something very sattvic, they may not appreciate it. Or if you give somebody who's in sattva something tamasic, they may not appreciate it. Ah, no thank you. I don't need a cigarette. I'm fine. I'm happy. They may not appreciate it. So, once some monks, some brahmacharis of Srila, of godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada, they went to Burma. Everybody know where Burma is? Not too far from India. So they went to Burma and they cooked puris. How does puri smells like? What is the smell of puri? Not oil puri, real puri, ghee puri. Come on. Actually, unfortunately, you know, in every part of the world, all the different racial groups, they describe that if a Caucasian person becomes vegetarian, an African-American person becomes vegetarian, all of these groups drastically reduce the risk for heart disease, except for one group. Who is that? Indians. Indians who are vegetarian have the same heart risk as those who are not vegetarian because all the oil. Ghee is better. I know there's a lot of, too much oil. Oil is not, oil's for the car, not for the body, or for massage, you know. So how does the puris and ghee smell? Is it a bad smell? Puris cooked with ghee. Is it a bad smell? A good smell. What is it? Is it bread and butter? How, this cannot be so bad. And so the people in that village, they came out and they're saying, oh, what is this stinky smell? Oh God, what is this stinky smell? And the brahmacharis, they were there scratching their head. What is this guy talking about? Why is he saying that their smell? Oh, that smells good. What is this? And they found out in the town that they had a very special delicacy that they did. If they found a dead creature, they would put it in a glass jar and let it sit in the sun. Does that sound wonderful? No. So they put the dead creature in the glass jar and all sorts of liquids started to come. Yes. And after some weeks, they would collect that liquid and they would say, it's your birthday. You get your nice sabji, and they squirt it all over your sabji. Srila Prabhupada tells this story. So, because the taste was in tamas, I'm sure everyone here would think that smells really bad, this roadkill juice, you know. That doesn't have a nice smell. Therefore, the sattvic food, the puris, you know, bread and butter, it's like it was considered to be a bad taste. So Krishna in chapter 2, he says, that which is like a night for the sage is like the daytime for the regular living entities. And what is like night for the regular living entities is like daytime for the sage. And literally it also refers to that the sage may wake up very early in the morning to perform his meditation where everyone is just getting to bed after partying late at night. So there's a different attraction to these modes. So what do the modes do? Satvam sukhe sanjati raja karmani bharata jnanam vritta tutama pramadhesa jayanuta rajas tamaschat bhuyam satvam bhavati bharata raja satvam tamascheva tama satvam rajas tata. The mode of goodness conditions one to happiness, passion conditions one to fruitive work, and ignorance binds one to madness. Sometimes goodness becomes prominent, defeating passion and ignorance. Sometimes passion defeats goodness and ignorance. And sometimes ignorance defeats goodness and passion. And this way there is always a race for competition. Sarva dvareshu. What does dwar mean? Door. Yeah, dwar. Sarva dvareshu deismin. Prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyad vividham satvam itiyuta. When there is goodness, all the parts of the body are just illuminated. One has this clarity. Lobha pravitti aramba karmanam asamam spriha rajasi itena jayante vividhe bharatarshaba. But when there is passion, there is great attachment. There's desire, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering. Now the three gunas can be seen depending on what subject is that you're looking at. For example, here's a question. If you take the great rishis that live in the heavenly planets, like Deva Rishi Narada, all these great sages, they're called Deva Rishis, Rishis of the Devas. So Rishis, Devas, and humans. What is the category? What mode of nature would be the Rishis considered? goodness, sattva, then the devas, rajas, and humans, tamas. Now, let's take humans, animals, plants. Humans would be sattva, animals, rajas, plants, tamas. Tamas means that plants are they're conscious, but very minimally conscious. Not as conscious as, say, like a puppy, you know, it has a little more awareness. So depending, in one category, the human was in sattva. And the other way of looking at the human was in tamas. It depends on what your subject is. How about devas, humans, animals? Deva is sattva. Humans, rajas. Animal, tamas. Urdvam gachanti sattvashta madye tishtami rajasa. Jagana guni vritishta aho gachanti tamasa. So if a person becomes situated in sattva, it pushes them up towards heavenly planets. They can become a devata in their next life. How long do devatas live? Who said forever? Well, Brahma has the longest lifespan, and he has a lifespan. Every other one lives even shorter. Brahma lives 311,042,000,000,000 years. But say you get a life of like Manu, then it's like what is it? Somebody can pull out the answer in Bhagavatam. But there's some that have lifespans of 1,000,000 years. Some have 10,000,000 years. Some people have, some devatas, billions of years, depending on what category of level that you have. Human life on earth is not the only human-like life. There are other forms of life superior to humans. That is called devata, demigod. In a Christian lingo, you would call that an angel. For example, if you ask, I sometimes ask a person, we have many folks that come here for tours, and sometimes Christian groups, I ask them, if somebody is very pious, they love God, they feed the hungry, they clothe the poor, they dig wells and build hospitals, but they are not 100% lovers of God. They still have so many other desires other than to serve God, but they have affection. What happens to such a person when they die? So somebody might say, well, they die and they become 100%. But that's like a forced love. You know, you die and then because of your death, now you 100% love God. That doesn't make any sense. It has to be a natural, your own desire. Now, if someone says, okay, that person has to take birth again, well then, mother, this planet Earth, the person has dug wells, built hospitals, and done so many things. Maybe this Earth is not a good enough situation. Maybe their karma is to provide something more materially opulent. Janma aishvara shuta shivir. These are the results of good karma. You get a good birth. So many of you are born in so many nice, good families, pious families. Janma aishvara, you're born with or wealth, or you have good opportunities to achieve wealth. Shuta, good education. Shribir, good and a good brain, and beauty or talents. All these are results of good karma. So there are living entities that are born in higher planets, and they enjoy all these heavenly delights. But the problem is, you can't stay there. Have any of you been on a cruise? I have never been on a cruise. Anybody here ever been on a cruise? Yeah. And why didn't you stay there? Did you have fun? You didn't want to stay on the cruise? Okay. Could you stay on the cruise? No, you have to go back to work. So Krishna in Gita 9th chapter, he says, you go to the heavenly planets and you enjoy. But when your punya, when the credit runs out, you got to come back to human life, earthly life. So you can go higher planet. Madhye tishanti rajas, so those who are in rajas, who are very into getting material things, temporary things, then they may stay as humans. And tamas, those who are very animalistic, may take birth in lower species of life, may even also lower demonic species of life in other planets. So in this way, the three gunas push us up, down. Now there is something beyond the gunas that is called shuddha sattva, pure goodness. So in the 11th canto Bhagavatam, it gives the same descriptions, like the house in the countryside was sattva. House in the city? Rajas? The house in the red light district? Tamas? And the house where the Lord resides? Shuddha sattva. So if you take a temple and you put it in the middle of 34th Street, then it's actually not Rajas, it is Shuddha sattva. You put a temple in the middle of Vegas, you can make it Shuddha sattva. You make it Krishna's home, it can go beyond even the mode of goodness. You take healthy food, that is called sattva. You take over extreme food, rajas. You take food that is dead, decomposed, putrid, no taste, tamas. But you take sattva food, you offer it to Krishna, then it is Shuddha sattva, prasadam. Prasade sarva dukanam. Prasadam gets all the miseries away and brings knowledge. So these three modes have these different qualities. Krishna describes so many things according to the three modes. He says charity. If you give charity for the right purpose, for the right time, to the right individual, with the right motivation, that is called sattva. Rajas means you do it because it gets you some fame. You know, people say, oh, I want my name. I want to see my name everywhere. But sattva means it's for the right purpose, right time, right motivation. Specifically, if you give, in the Vedic culture, charity was for the brahmanas, because the brahmanas would actually give spiritual education, and spiritual education is causing the alleviation of all material problems and spiritual problems. Now, if you give somebody's on the street and says, hey, I would like to buy some beer, maybe some drugs, can you give me some money? What kind of charity is that? Tamas. Doesn't help them, doesn't help you, doesn't help the world. Best thing you do is you give them prasadam. Then you get benefit, the world gets benefit, he gets benefit, everybody gets benefit. So Krishna describes even happiness in the 18th chapter. He says, happiness in sattva gun. What is the description? Anybody who hasn't read the Bhagavad Gita, what do you think? Happiness in sattva gun, how does he describe it? He said, happiness in sattva guna is like poison in the beginning. And it is like nectar in the end. So how many of you guys are in school? Raise your hand. So what is your favorite time at school? Math? What about recess? Must be a good teacher then. You like your math class. Like, yay! Run into the math class. Oh, I can't want to miss my math class. So, a lot of, when you go to recess and then you tell the kids, oh, you got to come back inside. Most kids like to stay out playing. Imagine if the teacher said, no, okay, only you play. We're not going to teach you anything anymore. So that is rajas. Means you get what you want right then. But in the long run, you don't know how to do anything. So you suffer. You don't know how to write properly, know how to read properly, don't know how to do all these things that you'll need to do in the future. So sattva means you may give up something in the beginning, but the end result is so wonderful. Rajas means you go to the fast food, you eat some greasy, disgusting thing. So it might feel nice right in the beginning, but just wait 10 minutes, it's like, I don't feel good. And then you wait 10 years in the hospital, there's like, eep, beep, there's like a, something beeping. And so the long-term result is not good. So he says, happiness in rajas, it is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. And how about happiness in tamas? Does tamas have a lot of happiness? No? Somebody needs to help tamas. He's a poor guy. So tamas means it's like poison in the beginning and poison in the end. Just like somebody who is living in a drug house, abandoned a house full of meth addicts. Not a happy life. Everyone is trying to get some drug-induced pleasure. But it's very miserable from beginning to end. So Krishna describes happiness. He describes work. He describes sacrifice. He describes knowledge. That knowledge by which you see the soul in all creatures is sattva. That knowledge that you see, these are my people. Gujaratis. These are, those other people, I don't know. They see different groups, my group, my people. Then that's rajas. And then the knowledge by which you think one work is the all in all, and you just kind of very narrow-minded view, that is tamas, ignorance. So there's so many subjects that are described according to these three modes, so we can develop some conception of them. And we can see what kind of gunas are we associating with. Because what? Urdhvam gacchanti sattvashta. Now sattva is the best place to practice spiritual life. Where is the best place to fly to Chicago? The airport, isn't it? That's the best place to get a flight to Chicago. See, the airport is like sattva gun. Is the best place, sattva gun is the best place to practice spiritual life. It is a fertile field to plant your seeds of bhakti. Now, rajas is like getting on the roof of the temple or your house and trying to catch the plane. That is not very hopeful of catching a plane to Chicago by jumping off the roof of your house. And tamas means you just lay in your bed and you whine about wanting to go to Chicago. That's even less likely. So sattva gun, being situated in sattva gun, makes one in a better situation to practice spiritual life. So therefore Krishna gives us this clarity, this description, so we can understand what kind of gunas we are associating with. What kind of video, entertainment, music, all these things that we are associating, what is the character of it? What kind of characteristics does it have? And where does it bring our consciousness? Is it bringing us, making us spiritually peaceful? Is it making us full of desires and hankering? Or is it making us in darkness, anger, hatred, and ignorance? So I'll stop here. Ask if there are any comments or questions. There's so much more that could be said about the three gunas. Arjuna at the end of the chapter, because remember it was T-R-A-P. Arjuna asks, what is the description of someone who is actually beyond all of these? And he describes that a person who's beyond the three gunas, who's gets to the Shuddha Sattva platform, he looks at a stone, pebbles, dirt, or gold as the same. He's equal towards praise and dishonor, fame and infamy, happiness, distress. He's equipoised. And then at the last verse, he says how you can do it. So now you heard all the gunas. What are the three gunas? Yes. Now then you want heard about the three gunas. Do you want to go beyond them? Are you want to be situated in lamentation and hankering and conditioned by material happiness? Which you want to be that way? Or you want to go beyond the three gunas? No? Okay. No problem. If you don't want to, you'll stay where you're at. So Krishna says, Brahmano pratishtaham. Actually, let's read the one before. That's there. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the three modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Hare Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Thanks a lot. Thank you very much. So we have a few minutes that we will do some kirtan, and then we have the feast outside very shortly. Hare Krishna. Sound great? So everyone can chant along.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama, Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So everyone should take a paper from, a page from her book. So everyone stand up. And offer your body to Krishna by dancing. So everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare 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 Ram Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So this is the forum of Lord Chaitanya. If you notice the deities of Lord Chaitanya all around the world, there's no deities of Lord Chaitanya sitting with his brother Nityananda. They're all dancing and chanting. So to worship Krishna in his form of Lord Chaitanya, which is the easiest way to get close to Srimati Radharani and Krishna, actually there's no way around that, is simply to chant and dance. Very easy to do. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. So that little girl that was here, she's a very elevated girl. She's from past life, practicing spiritual life. So we all get encouragement from her dancing. Now we all encourage each other. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.